We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Hey, this is Megan Rapinoe, and I'm Sue Bird. We've decided to turn our crazy IG live show into a podcast for your listening pleasure. Enjoy the show. A Touch More.
New episodes of A Touch More drop Tuesday only on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. Be sure to subscribe to the show on Spotify, Apple, or anywhere else you listen to podcasts.
Hey, what's up, Dynasty Command Center Nation? It's Curtis Patrick and Travis May. We're going to do some teaching on this episode. We're going to introduce a metric that is in its second year on the website. It's a metric that Travis actually created. Super interesting. It's super timely because we're going to apply it to the rookie class. You know, we just got done with the NFL draft. Everyone's right in the midst of their rookie drafts and doing new startups. We're also going to apply this bad boy to the Devy players and show you how you can use it as a scouting tool moving forward. So I'm really excited to talk about this for the second spring in a row and really try to get this into people's skulls as a new resource, Travis. So, you know, long-term fans of RotoViz and long-term listeners of our pod or, you know, legacy members of the Dynasty Command Center Slack, they obviously know, you know, RotoViz, we use production metrics as our primary scouting tool, really, when it comes to Dynasty. You know, we've got things that have been created by Sean and refined over the course of time by others like breakout age and dominator rating that weigh heavily into our prospect evaluation process. But last year, you know, you came up with an idea that maybe would paint a fuller picture or maybe a fairer picture,
yeah.
Another way of saying
for sure.
That. For prospects, and I know you and Blair kind of worked on this and you got it where it's pretty exciting. So just take a minute and tell people about your new metric called Adjusted Production Index.
Sure. Yeah. So it's pretty simple. I really just wanted to kind of get a bird's eye view of what a player's production profile looks like in the games that they played. So it really just combines three different variables. I mean, we've all heard of dominator rating. Basically a player's market share and receiving yards and touchdowns. And more recently, we've kind of dug in and found out that yards per team pass attempt, which is exactly what it sounds like, yards per team pass attempt is actually an even stickier metric by itself than dominator rating is in terms of predicting future NFL production. And what that does is it kind of speaks more to, rather than just a player's volume potential, it speaks more to their efficiency within the scope of their offense and their ability to generate a high clip of yards when asked to do so in their given offense. And then lastly, it targets touchdowns per team pass attempt, which isn't actually independently as sticky or meaningful as Dominator and yards per team pass attempt in predicting future production, but it does have a pretty strong correlation to draft capital. Players that have a high touchdown percentage and score touchdowns all the time, like take, you know, Henry Ruggs this year, for instance. His production profile overall is not great, but his touchdown per team pass attempt actually kind of buoys him, and he actually was taken really early. So that happens from time to time. But when you combine those three into one kind of singular score, you kind of get a more complete and more fair assessment of maybe they don't have a perfect Dominator, maybe they don't have a perfect yards per team pass attempt or perfect one thing, but you get a better idea of who a player is from a volume, efficiency, and scoring standpoint. So it's just kind of from a few different angles. And I'm looking at a player's peak season. So the season where they performed the best, because there are plenty of times where, you know, maybe there's an offensive scheme change or quarterback change, and maybe they had a fantastic sophomore season like Juju Smith-Schuster did, and then actually drops off in his final year and people kind of fade them, when realistically that last year wasn't necessarily the most accurate reflection of who a player is. So I look at a player's peak season, and then I adjust the profile in that I'm just looking at the games which they played. So if they're injured for two games, I'm not docking them in terms of their Dominator or yards per team pass attempt numbers because they missed two of the 13 games in their season. But overall, just trying to understand what makes a player efficient and what makes them have a good chance at scoring fantasy points at the next level.
Okay, man. So there's a lot to digest there, but I'm gonna sum this up and how I heard it and how I'm reading it in your piece. So, yards per team pass attempt, we're focusing there on player efficiency, and so where Dominator rating can be a little bit. I think if the team doesn't pass a lot, but the player simply gets a lot of volume, even if they're inefficient on that volume, you can kind of fool Dominator
Absolutely, you can.
Right. So yards per team pass attempt, that's a different way of measuring how that player operated within the offense. And then the yards per team pass attempt, the touchdowns per team pass attempt is a way to find really just a different type of player. Because the NFL, everyone is sensitive to highlight real plays, right? I mean, the touchdowns, that's what we see. You know, we like to see those big breakaways. And certainly, you know, any team that's scouting any player and doing a heavy film eval, even if they don't watch every game a player plays, they're certainly watching all the scoring plays of anybody they're significantly interested in. And so it's not surprising to me that you found a correlation between touchdowns per team pass attempt and draft capital. And where I think that's interesting and where we'll talk later in the episode about applying that to the Devy piece of this is if we can use that piece of adjusted production index to understand which players who fail in other parts of your index but excel there, that might be a way of identifying some sneaky day two pick. Before we get into the stars of adjusted production index in the 2020 class, I want to hit you guys with the FFPC stat attack of this episode. FFPC, of course, is where Travis and I prefer to play our high stakes dynasty fantasy football. And at RotoViz, we've got some great tools to measure ADP in startup drafts. So the stat attack of the day is, over the past 30 days, only two rookie wide receivers have startup ADPs in the top 50. And they are CD Lamb at 42.6 overall and Jerry Jeudy at 44.0, the FFPC stat attack of the day. Of course, FFPC is home to the best fantasy football leagues and contests in the industry, including Dynasty Best Ball and, of course, the world famous FFPC main event, my favorite high stakes redraft event every single year. To learn more or to join a league, head to myffpc.com. That's myffpc.com. And of course, we've got all the tools you need at RotoViz that are designed specifically to dominate the format.
You are a terrific salesman.
Okay, Travis, so we've talked a little bit about what adjusted production index is. But then, like, how do we understand a player's index in context to other prospects? I mean, is this, so this is literally like just a score that, you know, you can compare year over year. So like I can take somebody's index from 2014 and compare it to, you know, 2019 player, and you know, I can directly compare those things.
Yeah, you absolutely can, because I'm using kind of a player database that spans, I think it's about 12 or 13 years that it kind of generates a, kind of a baseline for each independent variable. And so they're kind of being tested against the same body of former NFL players to kind of project out future NFL production. So yeah, year over year, you can look at a player and say, hey, you know, Hakeem Butler had this, and Marquise Brown had this in 2019. And then you can look at this year and be like, oh, wow, but Tyler Johnson kind of killed him in both categories. And CeeDee Lamb, you know, he hits draft capital and this. And, you know, and it's easy to kind of look at their scores and just understand, because it is kind of a one-to-one there.
Okay, so I'm looking at your article. So Travis posted the 2020 top rookie wide receivers in adjusted production index on May 19th. It's still on the front page of RotoViz over in the Dynasty box. And I'm looking, it looks like you've got this organized into the index score and then API percentiles. Yeah. So the percentile would be a great way of kind of understanding that historical comparison. Yeah. So with that in mind, I mean, who are some of the top rookies this year in API percentile over your 12 or 13 year historical sample?
So this year, the number one rookie in this class that got both draft capital in terms of day one or day two draft capital and the best API score is CeeDee Lamb. His adjusted production index was 3.34, which is 90th percentile across of, you know, basically in the last 15, 20 years. He's a 90th percentile productive player from a few different angles, and he got the capital. So it's pretty much a slam dunk. At least looks like the safest player in this draft class at wide receiver.
So you say 90th percentile and 3.34. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's great. Okay, but I'm new to this metric. Sure. And I mean, what does that actually mean? I mean, what is the accuracy of predicting future fantasy success or hitting on that rookie draft pick, you know, on a player with a 90th percentile level score? Or if it's not 90, you know, what is the percentile kind of benchmark you're looking at in order to make a player a good
target? Absolutely. So with every one of these metrics that we test at RotoViz, it's not like saying that because this player has a 90th percentile, he's got like a 90% chance of hitting. It's not really like straightforward like that. We like to see certain thresholds. We really like to see higher percentiles because then their comps are even better. But like a 90th percentile player, you're looking at some really, really good all-time scorers. I mean, you're putting him next to guys like Amari Cooper, Calvin Johnson, even like Hakeem Nicks, Tyler Lockett, guys like that. They're in the same kind of range. Even like Tyler Boyd, but he actually has better draft capital than most of those guys outside of like, I guess, Calvin Johnson. So really, really like to see a player in the upper echelons, because you're going to get guys with just absolutely elite production scores up there. But realistically, if a player hits the 60th percentile, that's kind of like the baseline. In my analysis, looking at several hundred wide receivers over the span of several years, it's really hard to find a few examples that were successful that were below 60th percentile if they missed draft capital, especially. But even if they got draft capital, but they were kind of, you know, in the mid-range, they might be able to hit. Like Deebo Samuel is a good example last year. Like he barely missed the 60th percentile cutoff. That doesn't mean he can't hit. We just like to see that 60th percentile because he falls in a group of wide receivers that have shown to be more successful.
Okay, yeah, sure. So let's focus on the 60th percentile. Then you told me CD is up at the 90th, yeah. I mean, how many rookies in the 2020 class hit the 60th percentile, and you know, who are they? And I'm going to be listening to see if there's any surprise names, or if it's, you know, I'm kind of secretly hoping it's the guys that we've been ranking highly all offseason.
Oh yeah, well, I'm just going to go over the guys that hit both draft capital and API at 60th percentile. Okay. For now.
When you say hit draft capital, I just want to clarify, you're talking top 100.
Top 100, you know, because that's basically, day one, day two guys. this year. So you got CeeDee Lamb. He was picked 17, 90th percentile adjusted production index. You got Brandon Ayuk, Arizona State. He was actually, there's kind of a big drop off after Lamb. He was only 73rd percentile. Obviously got the first round tag there. Denzel Mims was 71st percentile. Laviska Shenault was like 0.4 percentile below him. I think he was 70.8 or so. And then you've got Justin Jefferson, Jalen Reagor, Jerry Jeudy, and Chase Claypool all in the 60th and 64th percentile-ish, that type range this year. So eight guys this class that hit what we like to see in terms of their adjusted production index and draft capital. And now that might confuse people a little bit just because Chase Claypool and Brandon Ayuk don't hit in terms of their breakout age, but they do in terms of their peak numbers. They did hit what we like to see.
And as we apply this to Devy moving forward,
yeah,
it's a way we could have known about Chase Claypool or Brandon Ayuk, even though we would have missed them using the things that are kind of the historical favorites of the site, like breakout age and dominator, kind of going hand in hand there. So, I mean, geez, so I'm thinking these names, CeeDee Lamb, Brandon Ayuk, Denzel Mims, Laviska Shenault, Justin Jefferson, Jalen Reagor, Jerry Jeudy, Chase Claypool. So that's basically, except for Claypool, that basically reads like half of the top 15 in Dynasty rookie drafts, yeah, in any Dynasty rookie draft that I've done.
Absolutely.
So far. There's a couple names missing, though. There's a couple names missing that I want to ask you about. Sure. So I did not hear Henry Ruggs. So it doesn't surprise me that he would score lowly here, but you use him as an example, I think, in the lead-in, talking about how his adjusted touchdowns per team pass attempt might have buoyed him a little bit, even though he would have failed on some of the other things, sure, in API. So what percentile was Ruggs in, and is there any takeaways from his profile?
Yeah, so his touchdowns per team pass attempt were like 65th percentile or something. So that was the only range where he actually kind of hit acceptable numbers. Like, okay, his peak dominator like was around 20%, which is not good. Like, that's like a full standard deviation or more away from what's normal in terms of an average draftable NFL wide receiver. Yards per team pass attempt, team missed it again pretty hard. Like, his was like 1.99 and average score is like 2.5 yards per team pass attempt. So he missed it by a wide margin there. So his profile was actually around the 30th percentile, which that doesn't mean he can't hit. Again, that doesn't mean he can't hit. He's got he was taking 12th overall. He's probably going to be given some targets if the team doesn't want to look like they're really bad at their job. But really, if you get below the 30th percentile, or specifically when I originally did this, I kind of broke these up into quintiles, like kind of groups of 20th percentiles, 40th, 60th, 80th percentiles, and things like that. If you're below 20th percentile, you are in a basically impossible to hit type range. But he's not quite there.
I'm privileged. I've got access to the database. So I'm looking here, and the 30th percentile is right around a negative 1.44 API. So I'm just looking in this area for other Nate. I mean, guys, I'm just gonna read down the list because this is a little brutal. Now, there, to Travis's point, there's a couple names that would give us hope. Yeah. On Henry Ruggs, I'm going to go a little bit above the 30th percentile and just kind of go down. So I've got Marvin Jones. He's more in like the 35th to 40th percentile range. But then we're talking like early Doucette, Chancey Stuckey, Tandon Doss, Jordan Payton, Lucky Whitehead, Jacoby Ford, Mark Clayton. So Mark Clayton popped just a little bit. Kenny Stills has popped a little bit. Brian Hartline had, I think, two top 24 seasons, definitely one top 24 season. But then, I mean, Jakeem Grant, Ricardo Lewis, this is an ugly range. This is an ugly range in API. And so I think it confirms, this is a different way, of course, looking at Henry Ruggs. It's still production-based. We know he's going to fail probably any production-based metric. And the reason that people are on him has nothing to do with his production. But even when we give him a little extra credit and basically give a third of the weight of his profile just to his adjusted touchdowns per team pass attempt, it's still not enough to save him. And so that's why I think API is interesting there. So enough on Ruggs. People have heard us rail on Ruggs for months. let's focus a little differently. So you said that Deebo Samuel narrowly missed last year. And so I see like a couple guys you know, that were missing from that eight that we read off. You know, I didn't hear Pittman. I didn't hear T. Higgins. Didn't hear Bryan Edwards. So are any of these guys kind of right in that range? And if so, is there anything about any of their profiles that would put you on them over one of the others?
Yes. And I think a lot of, I actually had some questions when I was initially posting about some of these scores on Twitter. And Bryan Edwards, people are like, wait, where's Bryan Edwards? He actually had a really good dominator. And it's true. If you, especially if you do like an adjusted look at his dominator, his peak numbers were, I think, 48% or something like that, just off the top of my head, which is plenty good. Like, that's way above average. Like, you know, it's, you know, 33%, 34% or something adjusted is decent, and he creamed that. So he was really good in that department. But his yards per team pass attempt were not actually great, and actually his touchdowns per team pass attempt were not great. And so he kind of didn't check the boxes there. And missing on yards per team pass attempt, which actually kind of has proven to be even more meaningful, that worries me a little bit. But when he got the draft capital, even so, you know, I think he was a 52nd percentile. So I really like Bryan Edwards, and I really like his early breakout age, the elite athleticism that I know he has. So I think that, you know, I still have Bryan Edwards really high, but, you know, that's just a player that's missing one or two things in his profile to kind of hit what we like to see. So I'm still predicting that he'll be a long-term NFL player. And that's the kind of player that you see at like around the 50th percentile, even in the 40th percentile range. You see a bunch of long-time role players, but you don't always see like the big-time owning a wide receiver core type players in that range.
Mike Evans, Kelvin Benjamin.
Oh, yeah. I mean, guys that had like brief windows.
Robbie Anderson, Jameson Crowder, so it's Steve Smith. So I see, yeah, I mean, I definitely see some people who ended up not just being NFL players, but, you know, extremely fantasy viable. Mm-hmm. There's definitely some whiffs in the 50s.
Because, I mean, you got like Justin Hunter.
Yeah.
And, I mean, even like, you know, you got like Ted Ginn. Like, he's a longtime NFL player. He's been around forever, but he doesn't necessarily, you know, carry you through fantasy as much.
You know, in your article, you focus a little bit on Denzel Mims and Laviska Shenault.
Yeah.
And so I want to just spend a second here. So their API comps with, you know, similar draft capital, I mean, they landed a pretty elite list. So I'm looking at a list that ranges from Odell Beckham Jr. Yeah. to T.Y. Hilton to Keenan Allen to Dwayne Bowe. And really the only comp for Denzel Mims or Laviska Shenault in this range that misses is Devere Posey.
Yeah.
So, you know, does seeing all these comps and sims with, you know, does this put you on them more? Did you push them up your draft board, you know, post rookie guide when you finished API? Did these guys vault up your board anymore after seeing their closest comps?
Not really, just because I was with both of these guys. I've been watching Mims for 3 years and Laviska for two. So I kind of already understood that, well, Laviska's not going to improve on his numbers in his final season because of how things went. And Mims just killed it throughout the Senior Bowl season at the Combine. So after he checks the Combine box and he checks all the production boxes that we've already seen, I'm probably going to have him really high. And then when he did get the draft capital inside day two, that just nailed it and was like, okay, yeah, I've got to rank him pretty high, and he landed in a spot where he can succeed. So, yeah, I'm really high. I think I'm the highest on our team on Mims, so definitely like this duo.
I think TJ Calkins will have something to say about that. I think TJ ranks whatever's above one, I think, is where he's got. You're definitely higher on Mims than I am. I know for sure that you are. So good on that. Guys, if you're looking to last longer or go a few extra rounds, you wouldn't be alone. Get to BlueChew.com. BlueChew.com has the first ever chewable that brings your performance in the bedroom to another level. They've got the same active ingredients that are in Viagra and Cialis, so you know they're going to work. And since they're chewable, they work faster. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. Plus, you don't have to go to the doctor's office or spend time waiting in the pharmacy line, having people wonder, you know, what is this guy there for?
Can I get an amen?
Blue Chew's online physician is free of cost And once you're approved, your order ships straight to your door, and it's going to be packed up discreetly. Here's a great deal for all of you listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first order free when you use the promo code BLUEWIRE. That's BLUEWIRE. Just pay $5 in shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com. Promo code BLUEWIRE and last longer tonight. There's no shortage of action going on at our exclusive partner, BetOnline. NASCAR is back on the track, and BetOnline's got hundreds of other games, events, and sports to get in on. You can still bet on simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC events 24/7, or you can participate in a $10,000 Madden Bracket Challenge. It's a March Madness-style NFL simulation tournament you can enter for free. And coming up next Sunday, this is pretty sweet because I watched this whole thing, Travis. BetOnline's got ex-Chicago Bulls, Ron Harper, Horace Grant, Bill Cartwright, and Craig Hodges joining them to discuss the Michael Jordan documentary on what they're calling the final dance. Visit betonline.ag and use promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your new welcome bonus and check out all the action. BetOnline is your online wagering solution. With The Last Dance documentary.
Yeah.
Man, it made me feel like a kid again. Yeah, man. So I grew up, I was definitely a kid in the 90s. You know, I mean, I'm like, what, third grade or something, you know, when the Bulls are at like the height of their dynasty. And I mean, I just worshipped MJ. You know, we didn't have social media. I didn't know all the shady dealings that were going on. I definitely was a kid that wanted to be like Mike. You know, my dad's getting me, you know, the Jordans running around in Y ball thinking I'm all that. And it seriously just made me want to run through a wall watching Phil talk to the team and watching Rodman, you know, grind out those rebounds. I had a lot of fun watching that thing, yeah, man.
So, I mean, like, I grew up in Indiana and I was a big Reggie Miller fan, big Pacers fan.
Oh,
but
no.
Even so, like, I still, like, I couldn't hate the Bulls for what they were doing because it was just too great.
Like, my oldest son just turned 9 and I don't think he's quite old enough for a little bit of the subject material that was in there, yeah. But I can't wait, like, maybe 2 or 3 years from now, when he kind of understands some of this stuff, can't wait to watch that with him and share one of the goats with him. So let's apply API from a Devy perspective. Sure. So both you and I rank Devy players at RotoViz, and the utility of that, you know, for listeners that maybe don't play in Devy leagues, you should still absolutely pay attention to Devy rankings because you need to know what that next pipeline of players looks like, and you need to read Devy content so you understand the relative value of a rookie pick, you know, in a subsequent year. You know, guys like Travis and Jordan Hoover over the past couple years, and then, you know, more recently, I think Stefan Leko and Matt Wispy have gotten involved with our Devy team. These are guys who are going to help you understand what next year's rookie first, what next year's rookie second are worth, even if you don't play Devy Dynasty football. So, you know, I'm guilty of this. I mean, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago, before I got into Devy, I would just kind of roll my eyes when I heard people talk about college football players or college fantasy. and then I've become enlightened to understand that even if you don't play, you still need to know. It's a way to find an edge. And if you're playing, whether it's high stakes or high volume in Dynasty, either way, you got money on the line, you got pride on the line, you need to understand what's going on in college football. So we're going to use API because, Travis has already got this updated. I mean, we already know where the peak seasons of the people that are still in college football, we know where they're at.
Yeah.
Now, these scores could change because they could throw up a new peak this year, but we've already got some people who have really popped. And so, you know, Travis, if you would just share maybe like, hey, who are the top, you know, 3, 5, 6 players who already have a percentile score that's impressive in college football?
Sure. Yeah. And this is, I was looking at the top 5 and I was like, man, this is a really sexy list. So you got Chetarius Tutu Atwell. He just goes by Tutu Atwell for Louisville. He actually has an incredible 91st percentile adjusted production rank already. And really, that's mainly just in one season because he kind of went off with Mikhail or Malik, whatever you want to call him, Cunningham this past year. And put up a ridiculous 4.24 adjusted yards per team pass attempt clip, which is like almost 2 full like standard deviations away from the mean. Which is, you know, he's like way up there, like 90th percentile, 95th percentile type numbers in yards per team pass attempt. But his his score is looking incredible. The only knock on him is he needs to add on a few pounds because I think his list weight's like 160 something. So he needs to add some pounds.
Okay, so we've got a Hollywood Brown here type. But in terms of his API, that's a CD Lamb number. I mean, you just told me he's 90th percentile. That's
he could
CD
do
Lamb.
Nothing. He could do absolutely goose egg this year. I mean, he's not going to do that, but he could do that, and he would already be where CD Lamb's profile was in terms of big picture. So really incredible. I think, and really, I think a lot of people are coming around quickly and automatically assuming he's already going to be a day two guy next year, just on his vertical threat and scoring ability. So I'm excited to see what he does because Malik Cunningham or Mikhail Cunningham, whatever you want to call him, because he's a really low key, you know, Heisman sleeper this year just because of what Louisville could do. But after him, you got Tylan Wallace, Oklahoma State. Obviously, he had a shortened season last year, so he could have really improved these numbers had he kind of been playing a little bit longer. But Tylan Wallace, I think the real draft people aren't as high on him, but he was a Biletnikoff finalist, 2 years ago? Just an incredible player. I think a lot of people think he's going to be a day two guy as well. Probably not round one, but, you know, an early pick. And then you got Rashad Bateman from Minnesota. I know people were kind of burned by Tyler Johnson this year, not getting the draft capital, but Bateman is almost just undebatably better than Tyler Johnson. And even as a true freshman, he put up, I think he was almost at the 30th percentile or so in terms of his adjusted production index as a true freshman, which, by the way, that doesn't sound great. And I'm not saying 30th percentile compared to other freshmen. I'm saying 30th percentile compared to future NFL players like coming out of college. Like he was already almost average as a true freshman. And that was with Tyler Johnson on the field. And last year he just came out and now he's got an 86th percentile adjusted production index score already and could peak even higher this year with veteran Tanner Morgan returning and Tyler Johnson gone. So he could put up ridiculous numbers and have the best numbers in this class next year. And then you got Sage Surratt from Wake Forest, or Surratt, sorry. I always said Surratt when he was a recruit, and I just can't shake it. But he actually got injured last year, but lost the competition around him in Kendall Hinton and Scotty Washington, and gets a quarterback who loves to throw the ball to him in Sam Hartman, now at the helm with Jamie Newman going to Georgia. So Sage Surratt, Wake Forest. And then last but certainly not least, to round out the top five in current adjusted production index score, that are, you know, still in college, you got Jamar Chase from LSU. You know, the guy who I think he scored 40,000 touchdowns or so, something like that, last year for LSU. Just an absolute crazy bonkers score, even being surrounded by other future NFL talent like Terrace Marshall and Justin Jefferson, of course. He's a top five NFL draft pick type player. So it's funny that, you know, five guys that are pretty much locked into day two capital next year are already looking like they're kind of no-brainers just looking at their adjusted production profiles.
You know, we talked about Tutu Atwell being over 90th percentile, but the other four guys you mentioned, Tylan Wallace, Rashad Bateman, Sage Surratt, and Jamar Chase, all four of them would actually, in this year's class, if you slid them in this year's class, they'd fit between CeeDee Lamb and Brandon Ayuk. You've got my attention here. We think this could be the 2014 wide receiver class for fantasy purposes all over again, right? I mean, everyone has just lost their mind over the quality of depth at wide receiver this year. Even though they've slid down the board relative to the running backs, no one's complaining about the wide receivers this year. We've complained about some landing spots, but we're not complaining about the receivers. And we're looking at next year, these draft eligible guys for 2021, and you're telling me I got five guys that would rank second or better in this class.
Yep.
I mean, that's remarkable. So absolutely remarkable. And in terms of, I think if anything, in terms of being actionable, you know, if you need to reload on wide receiver, knowing that you got more recruits coming in next season, I think that's even more ammo or I guess supporting argument for me to spend even like a second round pick this year in a rookie draft on the back, knowing I can replenish wide receivers next year. So maybe that leans me towards taking, you know, a guy I'm not super excited about, like a Keyshawn Vaughn or a Zach Moss type at the early to mid second round, if I understand what's coming in Devy next year. So You know, we're going to continue to keep API front and center for you guys moving forward, because I think people need, they need to add this to the repertoire. Okay. So we're not going to stop talking about the other metrics at the site that have led us to so much success over the years, but we've got one here that I think belongs on a pedestal right next to it. And it's another tool that we can use to make sure we're not missing some of these guys. So takeaways, CeeDee Lamb, you know, hard to poke a hole in that profile. Henry Ruggs is what we thought he was. And we've got a lot of reinforcements coming in Devy in 2021 and beyond, thanks to Adjusted Production Index. So Travis, man, thanks for the education tonight. I think I speak for you when I say, if anybody has questions about API, I mean, Travis is always great about answering stuff on his timeline at @FF_TravisM, even DMs. You can hop in the Dynasty Command Center Slack, ask him some questions about that, but he'll continue to keep API updated, you know, throughout the course of the season. We'll see how some of these college football guys rise up the ranks.
Nobody builds 5G like Verizon builds 5G, because we're the engineers who built the most reliable network in America. And the more you do with 5G, the more building it right matters. The more your network matters. The more Verizon engineers going the extra mile matters. It's us pushing us. It's Verizon versus Verizon. 5G built right from America's most reliable network. Most reliable based on rankings from RootMetrics second half 2020 U.S. report of 3 mobile networks. Results may vary. Award is not an endorsement.